Daniel chapter 12 is the conclusion of Daniel's dream, which began in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 11 gave us the picture of the Antichrist. And although God considers him to be very wicked, he will appear wonderful. We found that in Daniel chapter 11, that he will be a very religious and a very spiritual person. Yet, he will not be filled with the Holy Spirit, but with Satan's. So we're brought up to Daniel chapter 12, the end of Daniel. Also, the end of the world. The end of the times of the Gentiles. The end of many things. I don't know how many songs have been written about the end of the world. How many stories have been written about the end of the world. I know God has one story here, and all those others sometimes occlude the actual truth of the end. But in Daniel chapter 12, we see the conclusion of this present time. It's very short, but it's loaded with so many truths that are so astounding in light of all the teachings that abound today on the end of the world. If you would, please stand with me in honor of God's word while we read Daniel chapter 12. And in that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. The one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Father God in heaven, you are truly wonderful and glorious. You are truly an awesome God to have included us in your plan. Father, you're truly awesome to show to us, Father, some of the things that will come to pass in days to come. Father, help us to understand and obey those that we understand. And Father, help us to be content with the understanding that you give us. Help our minds to be open. Help our hearts to be earnest in expectation that you will give us understanding to the words that we read, the words that you've written for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Daniel chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up. What time? Well, this is referring back to Daniel chapter 11:35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. But at that appointed time, the time that no man knoweth the day nor the hour, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, So this is about halfway through the 70th week. A time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time. Even at the same time. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12 gives us a little more insight on that time. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I think Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 gives us a little more insight onto this time also. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 says, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The great tribulation. It's defined for us here. In the Old Testament, it was known as the time of Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble. It's mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, it says. Now I grant you, the 70th week will be a time of worldwide tribulation. But the last half of that 70th week is called the Great Tribulation. Scripture supports that. We've just read through some of it. You can take a look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. That'll support it also. Last week, when we were going through Daniel chapter 11, we talked about the books. Remember when he referred to the book of truth? And then we turned to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. You can jot it down. I'm not going to turn there right now. But in Revelation 20, verse 12, we saw that God has many books. He has one book called the book of life, and many books called book of works. One book of life. And the others are the books of works. So it is halfway through this 70th week, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now I don't know if it's exactly halfway to the day. I have no idea. But at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So it's halfway through the 70th week when God delivers his people whose names are in the book of life. I believe that is the time that most people call the rapture, as it occurs at the very beginning of the Great Tribulation. Hopefully this will come clearer as we study through the rest of these verses. Verse 2, And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Let me read you a literal translation of this. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. These to everlasting life, but the others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now it's not very clear here, but it's very clear in several other verses throughout the scripture, that there are two resurrections. I think that's what this is talking about. These to everlasting life, and the others to shame and everlasting contempt. If we look at John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, it says, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. A resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto damnation. The Old Testament saints believe in a resurrection also. In Job chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, it says, So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heaven be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Psalm 49, verse 15 says, But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Isaiah 26:19 says, Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Isaiah 26:19. Hosea 13:14. In Hosea 13:14 it says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave, I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues, O grave, I will be thy destruction. Hosea 13:14. In fact, this was the entire debate between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, and the Sadducees didn't. I was taught a long time ago, that's how you remember the two of them apart. The Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That was the whole debate between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That one thing separated them into two different groups. It's occurring the same thing today. When will it happen? It's going to happen, and they can't come together, and they can't come in agreement, even though they believe in the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. The one thing that should separate all people. Those that believe in the blood, the book, and the blessed hope, and those that don't. Old Testament saints believed in the resurrection. Scripture teaches the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 through 26 says, But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, which happened at one time, afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall be delivered up, the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15:23-26. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6 says, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, referring to those that were resurrected before the millennium. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Two resurrections. Only two resurrections taught in Scripture. And Scripture tells us when they're going to happen. Scripture says one's going to happen before the millennium, and one's going to happen after the millennium. Exactly when? Scripture doesn't say exactly when. We can tell closely. Right here in this verse, it says that this is one of the resurrections. This is the first one. And everyone that shall be found written in the book of life. All who are in the book of life. But then we're shown another group of those that are in the book of life in verse 3. It says, And they that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This is talking about those with overcoming lives. We're told many times in Scripture that we're to strive for an overcoming life. This is made a little more clear in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 through 22. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3, 21 through 22. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 41 through 42. Says, There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So also is the resurrection of the dead, though. There's more than one glory. There's glory to reign and rule with him, and there's glory just to be with him. It's demonstrated in Luke chapter 19, verses 16 through 19. It says, "Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. In varying degrees of reward. We know that Scripture teaches there's varying degrees of punishment in hell, but Scripture also teaches there's varying degrees of reward in heaven. And they that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let me ask you, do you find it hard in your life today to share your faith and to turn people to righteousness? Do you find it hard today to share your faith and to turn people to righteousness? What will they think of you if you do something like that? More importantly, what would they do to you if you shared your faith to them? Let me tell you something. It's going to be a lot harder in times of tribulation. It's going to be a lot hard when things get rough. You don't believe that? There's tribulation going on in many places in the world right now. Not the great tribulation, but there's tribulation going on. You try and go over to China and be a witness and see if you don't get put in jail. Or other places around the world. It's a lot harder to share your faith when there's tribulous times going on. So you better get into practice of it now. God's giving you time to get into practice now. But you will only turn others to righteousness as you turn yourself to righteousness. You'll never turn anyone to righteousness if you yourself have not first turned to righteousness in that area. And they that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let's go on to verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. In years gone by, when two people would accept a contract, they would both place their seal upon that contract. Or maybe in a situation where a king were to accept a law, he would place his seal upon that law or maybe upon that proclamation, signifying that it should be kept without any change. And so God tells Daniel to preserve these words as they would not change. It doesn't mean that the message is to be hidden, as many commentators might say, as many scholars have said. Because in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, Jesus tells us to understand the prophecy of Daniel. God wouldn't first hide it and then expect us to understand it. It's right here, if we want to seek after full understanding of it. But quite often, we're only willing to understand those things that we're willing to obey. And we're not usually 2 steps ahead of God. We're usually 1 step behind Him. And many shall run to and fro. This word run means roam or travel. It specifically means roam or travel. It possibly points to the endless chasing around in cars, in planes, in boats, in trains, without ever really accomplishing anything or much for God's glory. Some people call it just spinning your wheels. Lots of Christians out there today just spinning their wheels. Kind of a funny story that was told. Around 1680 AD, Sir Isaac Newton, a famous Christian and an accomplished scientist, speculated about this passage, and he thought that it might mean that men would travel from country to country as never before. He said, maybe a new invention would allow people to travel quickly, possibly exceeding 50 miles per hour. Some 80 years after that time, Voltaire, a famous French atheist, said these words, "See what a fool Christianity makes of an otherwise brilliant man? Has he forgotten that if man would travel at this rate, he would be suffocated, his heart would stand still?" His heart would stand still. Which brings us to the very ending of this verse, "And knowledge shall be increased." At that time, Voltaire thought he had certain knowledge, and he taught it as knowledge. And knowledge has continued to increase. Knowledge, both true and false, abounds in this world today. And we call it knowledge because people accept it as true, whether it's true or whether it's false. It's sad when people accept false things as being true. But it is also talking about knowledge of good and knowledge of evil. Remember back in the garden? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the knowledge that's going to increase. Knowledge of good will increase in those who wish the knowledge of good to increase. But in many others, the knowledge of evil will run rampant. And I see it running rampant in homes today of sincere Christians. People that used to be missionaries on the field. And there's pornography in their homes now. I heard of a family just this last week where that's going on. And it's being shared with the children in that family. And there were missionaries on the mission field. Knowledge of good and evil will increase. Is knowledge of good increasing in your life faster than the knowledge of evil? Are you stamping out knowledge of evil in your life and promoting knowledge of good? Knowledge will increase. Knowledge is increasing in our society. And it's being spread by books, by newspapers, by television, by radio, and now even computers and the internet. It goes that fast. Knowledge, both true and false. Knowledge of good and evil. Verses 5 through 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So he declares two signs. First sign is that there's going to be 3.5 years. And the second sign has something possibly to do with Israel's power being broken up, the holy people. I don't know for sure. It's not very clear. So many Bible scholars say it's this or it's that, but there's no way to be sure. It's not clear. And I don't think it's shown to us anywhere else in Scripture either. And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And in verse 9, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. These words were going to be preserved for their own time. These words were going to be preserved for their own time. Daniel said he didn't understand it. And he said, Daniel, it's okay. Go thy way. These words are for their time. You don't have to understand them now. God's people are to be content to obey what they already know to be true. So often, if we could just understand this or just understand this, if you could just explain this or this verse or that verse, then I'll believe all the rest, but I just don't understand this. One verse shouldn't disqualify all the rest of Scripture. God's people are to be content to obey what they already know to be true. James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Knowledge is abounding today, both of good and of evil. See, if they don't obey what they already know, they may become as the wicked, who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. So Daniel was at a position in his life where he had to go on without an answer. Without an answer from God. He had asked God, what does it mean? And he had to go on without an answer. In times when God doesn't explain, we have to be able to just trust Him. But we can still trust Him. He's on our side if we're willing to be on His side. He's not going to move teams. We need to. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Sounds a whole lot like chapter 11, verse 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. I've had so many people say, well, why would God's people have to be tried? Why would they have to be purified to make white? Well, it's quite clear, because they were not yet adequately purified. They were not yet adequately purified for what God had intended for them. They weren't adequately purified like those saints were in Revelation chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, it says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brother, when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." It's not that God wants us to be tried. He wants us to be patient with whatever trials are coming. Those that can't be patient with the trials that are coming will probably be given more trials so they can learn patience. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." If you can handle any trial in patience, then God doesn't have to give you any trial to purify you. But it is only God that can purify us. It is only God who can purify us. But He has already given us everything we need to live pure lives. We have just failed to apply them in our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We've been given everything we need to live pure and holy lives. And if you're not living a pure and holy life now, either you're not saved. I believe maybe you probably are. Most of you at least. But if you're not living a pure and holy life, you're not applying those things that have already been given to us. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4. If we do not apply what He has given us and live obediently, He will allow trials to help us along, to encourage us in obedience. But it tells us the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. None of the wicked shall understand. They're not going to not understand because of lack of brains. I know plenty of wicked people that have very high IQs, lots of brains. Not because of the lack of brains, but because of lack of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him." The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. 1,290 days. Now 3.5 years, the time times and a half, is 1,260 days. So this is talking about 1,290 days, 30 days more, 1 month more. Verse 12, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. First of all, this is the only beatitude in the entire book of Daniel. Blessed. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. 1,335 days is 45 days more than the 1,290 days. Now, I don't know what the 1 month more is in verse 11. I have no idea what that 1 month more is. I don't know what it's for. I don't think Scripture tells us. I don't know what this extra 45 days is. I have no idea. But we're told the starting point for the 1,290 days in verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. We're told the starting point there. Verse 12, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. Most people think that that means just 45 days longer than this 1,290 days. But we're not told when this 1,335 days starts. Maybe it starts at the beginning of the 70th week. Maybe it starts somewhere around the middle. We're not told. I don't believe Scripture tells us clearly. I've searched the Scripture over and over and over again, not just this last week, but for years actually, trying to figure out what these days are. And I don't know. I've heard some comments by different commentators, and they just say, I think. I've never had anyone show me anywhere in Scripture where it says anything. So unless God's given them some extra revelation, which Scripture wouldn't support anyway, then they shouldn't know any better. Verse 13. But go thy way. But go thy way. Daniel didn't understand what those days were either. And I rest assured in the same thing, Daniel didn't understand back then, I don't need to know now. But go thy way. Go thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest. Thou shalt rest in death and stand in resurrection in thy lot at the end of the days. It's exactly what it means if you translate it. But go thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest in death and stand in the resurrection in thy lot at the end of the days. Job 19:25-26. Job made a startling statement very similar to this one here. In Job 19:25-26, Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my flesh worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. They believed in the resurrection. Some of them at least did. And God was reassuring Daniel in that right here. What's the application of all this? All this knowledge? This knowledge could be for good, couldn't it? This knowledge could be for evil. This knowledge is true because it comes from the book of truth, so we can decipher that. But what you do with it depends on whether it's knowledge for good or knowledge for evil. The application to this is in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. If you have your Bibles here today, I'd ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36 says, And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, gluttony basically, and drunkenness. Oh, I don't have problems with gluttony or drunkenness. Okay, well, let's look at this third one. And the cares of this life. Oh, well, maybe. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with gluttony and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. What are we instructed to do? Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How do you do that? Just like Daniel did in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, you purpose in your heart to do that right now. If you've never purposed in your heart to live a holy life, one set apart using all those things that God gave you to live a holy life so you can be a witness and a testimony where you live, where you work, in your home, wherever you are, you need to do that right here today. Because you may not have another chance to purpose in your heart beyond this. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. Many of you know that little childhood song. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Sure, it's real easy to sing. It's impossible to live it out unless you first purposed in your heart. That's Daniel chapter 12. That's the end. And I can't say, and they lived happily ever after. You decide that yourself.